Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast. I'm here along with 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year, Josh Williams.
Hey, hey.
And hello. I am Tim Batts, zero-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year.
Yes, that is right. You are.
You don't have to rub it in.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, whatever.
I didn't take it like you said it.
Sorry. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to another great week of podcasting. We're excited to be here. We are really excited about our guest this week. We've got the great voice of 90s country music and bluegrass music, Mr. Marty Rabin is going to be our guest tonight, and we are excited to talk to him.
Absolutely.
See what he's got going on and lots of other great things. So thanks so much for our great sponsors. Custom Automotive is one of our local sponsors. They've been in business this week 52 years, so great family business there. And if you need wheels and tires in Calvert City, Kentucky, right around the northern end of Kentucky Lake, go see Custom Automotive. So thankful for BanjoBenClark.com. If you want to buy something on there, just go to BanjoBenClark.com. Use the promo code HOMETOWN, and old Banjo Ben will give you 10% off just for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
How cool is that?
Pretty dang cool. And we're going to ask you a little trivia question here later when Josh thinks of one. And we're going to have you listen to this podcast, and we're going to post it on our Facebook page Friday when it airs. If you're the first one to answer correctly, you'll get a free Page Capo, thanks to Page Capos. So give away a Page Capo each and every episode. And so thankful for them and all they do for bluegrass music. So,
yes.
Anyway, you had a good week, man?
Yes, I did.
Good.
Did have a good week. Deal. Played in Florida. So that was very nice.
Cool.
Very nice. Down there at the old Road Heavers Boys Ranch.
Yep. Palatka?
So, Palatka, yeah. Yes.
Well, I went to Charleston, South Carolina, visited family, and had a great time in Charleston.
Well, good.
Did you ever get a chance to visit Charleston? You been to Charleston?
Yeah, I've been through there.
That's stayed for a long time. Just
yeah, I've been through there many times.
Yeah,
driven through there, you know.
Yep.
But
beautiful part of the country there in Charleston, whole country.
Now, where did we play at? Where the festival was that your brother-in-law did
in Charleston?
It was there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So, well, then why'd you ask me? You know I've been there.
I know.
You said that I was a jerk there.
Yeah, I forgot about that because you didn't like me then, so I wasn't sure. So
I didn't believe that you were from here, probably.
Yeah, no doubt.
I had a guy come up to me in Palatka, of all places, and he was like, Josh, I just wanted to come over here and say hi to you. And I said, okay. And he said, some of my greatest memories was with Tony and Mama Neal and all that stuff. And I said, who are you? Like, and he ended up being my cousin.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Oh, Gary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we did 2 years in a row, we did a bluegrass festival there in Charleston called the Sweetgrass Music Festival at Patriots Point, which is a beautiful park there in Charleston. And
yeah, I remember they had naval ships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had the USS Patriot aircraft carrier that sits out there. People can tour, and it's a beautiful place for a festival. We did that 2 years in Charleston, so it's a beautiful part of the country for sure. So, but anyway, we're excited about, I'm sure you're real excited about going to Florida. Since it's getting a little cooler here in Western Kentucky. So.
Yeah, it was very nice. The weather was very much appreciated.
Absolutely. Did you wear your Speedo while you played?
It wasn't that good weather. Nor would I ever do that to anyone.
Oh, man. Yeah, sorry, I had that visual now, and I'm trying to get it out of my head. So,
don't fight it.
Oh, please let me fight it. Please let me fight it. So,
Tense up; you'll hurt us both. Right.
Exactly. Well, this is our 41st episode of our podcast, and we're cruising right along through a year. Can't believe it's well into November now. So
my
we're
gosh.
just getting on with it. So Thanksgiving will be here before we know it, and then Santa Claus will be coming around. So, man.
Now, just remember, though, before we get to the old Turkey Day, we're going to have a big show up at the Mountain Arts Center over in Prestonsburg, Kentucky on the 23rd.
That's right.
Which is a Saturday, isn't it? Saturday night, I believe?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to, we're helping out with Samaritan's Purse in hopes to help with the flood victims, you know, from Hurricane Helene that came through western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee. And,
yep.
You know, that folks, I know that it's not really in the news and stuff anymore, but it's still there.
It's
a real
situation that's dire.
Yeah. And the longer it goes as is, the worse it is, you know.
Absolutely.
People still without power and
living in tents and everything else. So, absolutely. So, you guys are going to, Southern Legacy will be there with Authentic Unlimited, I think, right?
Yes, and, that is correct. And some other special guests.
Yeah.
Other. So, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a very fun night. And then, if you cannot make it to Eastern Kentucky, come to Western Kentucky on December the 6th.
Yep.
We're going to be doing something very similar to that here at the Kentucky Opry.
Mm-hmm.
And my band, Southern Legacy, will be there along with Colton Baker, who is last week's guest was Russell Moore, and he plays with Russell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's going to put a band together and have something there that night, too. So you never know who might show up. So
absolutely. Yep, be lots of fun, and hopefully just raise lots of money for the people who definitely need it. So
yes, yes. Call your rich uncles and have them come with you to the Kentucky Opry. And yes, these people desperately need help. And you know, there's a lot of bluegrass people that this has happened to that live in that area. So we have to help. It's our duty as Christians, but also as bluegrass pickers to help out the other bluegrass pickers.
That's
right.
We're a big family, and everybody in bluegrass music feels that way. And so that's what we're going to do, try to help out. So we're going to target our efforts for our Western Kentucky Festival here we're going to give to the United Way of Haywood County. And that area was hit really hard there, and Canton and Maggie Valley and that area there. So, so excited about having all your guys at the Kentucky Opry. So
yeah.
That'd be fun, won't it?
It will be a fun night.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of a fun night, we're going to have a blast talking to Marty Rabin here in a little while, see what he's up to. And he's always busy doing something. I mean, he plays lots of shows.
Oh, my gosh,
so,
yes.
We'll find out what he's going on.
I got to do a few of them with him last year. Yeah, I actually played banjo for him. Yeah, it was fun.
Well, that's cool.
It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Great guy.
When we come back, we're going to do our trivia question, and we're going to see if Josh wants to learn us something on the guitar.
But most importantly, we're going to give away a capo.
Exactly. So you stay tuned, listen for the trivia question. We're going to give away a page capo. So we'll be right back right after these messages.
Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you.
Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Howdy, friends. I'm Banjo Ben Clark, and you're listening to my good buddies, Tim Batts and Josh Williams, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, banjobenclark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, BanjoBenClark.com. Now back to the show.
Thank you, Banjo Ben. Banjo Ben says we give valuable conversation about the world's best music. Did you know that?
I appreciate him saying that.
Absolutely, man. That was awful nice.
Valuable conversation.
Yes. So our conversation is valuable, and we thank you for listening. Thank you, Banjo Ben Clark. Just go over to his website. Put in the promo code HOMETOWN, and you'll get 10% off your order. So they sell tons of instruments and microphones and accessories and all kind of stuff. So, I mean, they've got guitar cases and straps, and, I mean, they've got it all.
You got a squirrel in your throat over there?
I do. I'm out of Diet Mountain Dew over here. I need to – will you run and get me one real quick?
Yeah, sure.
But – anyway, we're thankful for them, and we're also thankful for Paige Capo, who gives away a capo in every podcast episode, and all you got to do is answer this trivia question that Josh is about to pull out of his butt.
That is so true.
So, what's it going
to
be?
Well, since our guest today is going to be Marty Raven, we're going to make this a Shenandoah question. All right. I think that's okay.
Absolutely. I think it's great. I love Shenandoah.
That'd be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. What was Shenandoah's first hit?
Ooh, like their first number one?
Yes.
Wow. What was Shenandoah's very first number one song?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, if you've listened to this podcast and you know the answer to that, then you check out our Facebook page, The Hometown Bluegrass Show, Friday morning, and I'll post a link to this episode, and you'll be the first to answer that question correctly, and you will win a Paige Capo or $50 towards a purchase of anything on their website. So,
yes.
Absolutely. So, speaking of great Paige Capos and guitars, Josh is grabbing the guitar right now, and he's going to teach us something.
Teach you? Okay.
I mean, just give us a little lesson there, buddy.
Okay. Well, this is the G chord. But we in bluegrass rarely use that shape. Now, Jimmy Martin used it a lot.
I'm
so that
glad
means
you're bringing this up, because I meant to ask you about that.
The reason I think behind it, I know one reason that I like to do it is that it takes the third out. So what that means is, you know, if we're playing in G, you know, the triad for the chord
mm-hmm.
would be G, and then B, and then D. So when you're playing that third can be like right up in your face, and sometimes it's not always, you know, when the guitar's in tune, it might be a little sharp. You know, if you ever listen to Earl Scruggs, he would purposely tune his second string flat in order for it to sound right, you know.
Hence flat Scruggs?
Well, yeah, maybe. No.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. That was it's bad. All right. It is crazy, though. Is it not ironic that the older Lester got, the flatter he sang? So,
that is funny.
That's why people always say, pick Scruggs and sing flat.
Oh, man.
But anyway,
so
yes.
So you're just playing a two-finger chord, basically.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's still a three-finger chord because I'm noting the second string on the third fret, making it a D.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got the G. All three of those are G and two Ds.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So that takes the third out of the chord. If I add the third in, which would be this note here. Mm-hmm. You hear the slight overtone that's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Which is this note right here.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a B.
Yes, that's correct. And it would be the same with, like, you know, then you'd have both of them going.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was so you could get to the C chord quicker with that shape, but...
It really doesn't make a difference as far as that goes. In all honesty, I'll be honest. I mean, the reason I started playing like that was because Tony Rice played the G like that. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to do that.
That's the way you
got
to do it.
And then I got used to playing it. But, you know, the older I got and the more I thought about it, that's kind of why it's there that way, you mm-hmm. know. And even flat, when he would play that chord a lot. So he would still not have the low B, which is the really loud one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's why.
Yeah.
Because that
that's interesting.
Yeah, that B note can be very overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes sharp.
So what is the four-finger G? Is that, what is it technically called? Is that a G sus or is it?
No, it would still be a G. It's just you're taking the high B out and making it a D, but you're still keeping the low B.
What makes a G sus? What makes a chord the sus?
Well, if you have a note that is hanging on, say, like a lot of, probably the easiest one that people learn would be like a D chord. And then they add the G.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a sus.
Oh, okay.
A sustain G in.
Which a lot of people use as a hammer on, you know, just, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're in the key of G, you know, that could be a sus, but most of the time you're going to add the two. So, like, that's actually a three and a four there. So, and same with this one. There's a G sus.
Oh, got you.
So, and that's what the sus is. It's not that it's a suspect chord, you know. it's a sustained note in the chord.
So it's short for sustained. Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, see?
There you go.
Something.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, cool. Very cool.
Well, look there. So see, you can learn by listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show.
That is absolutely
valuable
true.
Valuable conversation and educational conversation.
That's right.
So
that's right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We're going to talk to our buddy Marty Rabin here in just a minute. So you hang tight with us, and we will be right back.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at kygrro.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Page Capos. The Page Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Page Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Page Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Page Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Page Capos. Order online at pagecapo.com.
Mark your calendars now for Saturday, November 23rd, as two of the hottest bands in bluegrass music, Authentic Unlimited and Southern Legacy, are banding together with several of your favorite bluegrass artists to present an unforgettable evening of music at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. Special guests will include the Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Larry Cordell, Balsam Range's own award-winning bass player Tim Surrett, also appearing is Jesse Wells from Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps. Many more guest artists to be announced soon. Blue Debut will be opening the show at 7 p.m. Get tickets now at macarts.com and be a part of this incredible event. The artists are generously donating their time and talent to benefit the charity organization Samaritan's Purse. By banding together, we can all make a difference. Get your tickets today at macarts.com.
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast. I'm your host, Tim Batts, along with my dear friend, Josh Williams.
Hey, dear friend.
Yeah.
Listen to you.
You are a dear friend.
Man.
I say that because you're sitting here right beside me.
Man, that's so nice.
Speaking of dear friends, we are excited to have our dear friend and country music bluegrass legend, Marty Rabin, on the phone. How you doing,
hey, sir? Hey, fellas.
Hey, Marty.
Man, doing absolutely wonderful. Hey, Josh. Man, doing good. Doing good, Timmy, Josh. Appreciate y'all having me. It's, man, it's all good. It's all good. You know, we just out beating and banging and, you know, just trying to scratch out a living like everybody else is and enjoying it. You know, we're having a big time, dude. And you know how it is. Old grassers, man, if we didn't love it, there's no way in the world we could stay out in it.
That's right.
I hear you. So what came first for you, bluegrass music or country music?
Yeah, man. I grew up, I cut my teeth on bluegrass music. My daddy somewhere in the north, and he came home. I'm being serious about this now.
Mm-hmm.
Came home with three of the best bootleg tapes I'd ever heard in my life. You know, used to a long time ago, you know, that there was such a thing as like a bootleg 8-track tape.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they, you know, people would, you know, they'd get these tapes and they, you know, man, they might have one off one record and one song off another record and all of the other kind of stuff, only to find out the reason why they could do that, because it's bootleg quality, terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, and they called them bootlegs, so that's what you expect. But he stopped at some flea market, bought three of the best bootleg tapes I'd ever heard in my life. One of them was Jimmy Martin and the Sonny Mountain Boys.
Oof.
And the other was the Osborne Brothers.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, man, me and my, you know, of course, growing up with brothers and the time that he got that, you know, we were singing together. You know, daddy taught us the harmony parts and that kind of stuff. So we were trying to do the best good to hone a harmony thing together. And man, we listened to them Osborne Brothers. And I'm telling you, back, that man, goodness.
Mm hmm.
Man, it was Tennessee Hound Dog and Georgia Piney Woods and Ruby. And man, we'd listen to the end of those songs where they put them big endings on it. You know? So once they started getting in our head about, you know, the endings that they would put on, now we started having to come, everything we sang, we come up with a big ending, you know, big vocal ending on the end of it. You know what I mean? We just had to have, you know. It didn't make any difference if every song we played for somebody did. We had to have one on it. And I listened to the Drive of the 5-string banjo that was on that Jimmy Martin stuff. The other one was a Lester Flatt bootleg tape. And, of course, it backed it all the way to Birmingham. And,
Yeah,
man, I'm telling you, I even sang that in the fourth grade town. Yeah,
Did you really?
That's cool.
I sure did.
That's awesome.
The fourth grade talent show.
Did you win or no?
No.
Oh.
But to tell you God's honest truth, what they were all anyway wasn't no count, no how. So it really didn't make much difference.
Oh, that's great.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I even think about bragging rights, but whether I did or what didn't, that it didn't mean nothing. I sure did. I sang it back and all the way to Birmingham, and man, I was a big Lester Flatt fan too. Man, I loved Lester Flatt. In fact, there was an old boy years and years ago when I got back into bluegrass music after for so long. We were up in Louisville, and this fellow that I had known years ago said, "Man, I've got some of the best vintage radio work, Opry stuff of Bill Monroe and Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, Jim and Jesse." I've got a Bill Monroe 1946 with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. And I said, "Man, I'd give anything in the world." And I said, "That was live." He said, "Yeah, live." And I'll tell you what, if you fellas can find it, that probably is the best rendition of Sunny Side of the Mountain. Sun Flat with pitch.
Yeah.
And I mean, he absolutely killed it.
Wow. I think I've heard that, actually.
Man, if y'all can look that up and find it, I'm telling you, and I'd give it, I let somebody borrow it. I don't even know who in the world I let borrow it, but yeah. I would give anything in the world if somebody would just happen to, bring it back.
Absolutely. Huh.
But he did. I mean, he just absolutely killed it.
Wow.
I was a humongous Lester Flatt. You know, a lot of people didn't like that as the years went on because, that's the reason why he's got his name Lester. That's not the reason why his name's Flatt.
Yeah.
But, it certainly, for them, it went along with it. But, man, at one time, brother, he could carry the mail.
Oh, man, absolutely. He was a big star, man. People don't realize that because, a lot of people, especially people my age, we didn't see that. We never got to – I never got to see him live or meet him or anything like that. So, but I did get to play on the road with Kenny Ingram for quite some time, who did play with him. And, until the day that Kenny passed away, he said that Flatt was the absolute coolest guy to be around. And that when he entered the room, everybody turned and watched him,
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something, not that I knew Lester Flatt, because I certainly did not. But I know that, even the falling out that he and Monroe had carried for so many years, Monroe had gave probably one of the best statements of, if anybody wanted to make a statement about somebody that really meant something. He said that Lester Flatt was the most calming MC that he had ever met in his life.
Wow.
That every word he said, he could make people pay attention to everything he said. Now, Monroe said that about him.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Marty Stewart and Kenny Ingram was with Lester Flatt the only time that I ever got to meet and talk with Lester Flatt. It was in Branford, Florida. And I don't know, all years with us growing up, see, we remember the Beverly Hillbillies and then what records, we had. And then, as we started collecting them through the years, but, in turn, I was an awfully big fan of Jimmy Martin's, too. Now, I did get to know Jimmy real, real well. the last probably year and a half that Jimmy was living, mm-hmm. I got to know him to the point that, you know, he'd ask me to come to his house, and I'd go up there for the day, spend the day with him, he never acted sick to me at all. And then, you know, as it went along, as, you know, cancer had continued, you know, he was getting weaker and weaker, you know, and I could see that in him and stuff. But I can tell you what, though, that rat would make the best pot of beans you've ever eaten in your life.
Oh, man.
Man, I am kidding you, man. Hey, Raven, come on. What are you doing tomorrow? Well, Jimmy, I got a few things. Well, you call them, put it off. I got on a pot of beans. You need to come up here. And Mary Ann, at the time, you know, she'd call. And I guess when he was feeling kind of bad, she'd say, Marty, are you doing anything tomorrow? And I'd say, well, and I knew what she was calling for. And I said, well, no, I don't guess I am. I said, do I need to come up there? And this is when it's getting, you know, when he started getting bad. And I said, you think I should come up? Oh, yeah, he'd love you to come by. But now don't tell him I told you. And, of course, I would never tell her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, you know, we'd get up there. You know, and I'll never forget probably the first 30 minutes he and I were talking. Man, he started using the Lord's name in vain about two times. I said, Jimmy, look, I appreciate it if you wouldn't talk like that. He said, you're like that dumb Ricky Skaggs. I said, hold on there, Jimmy. Jimmy, I know more about you than you know about me. I said, you don't really know me at all. I said, I promise you, I know more about you. I've heard more stories and asked more questions about Jimmy Martin than you ever have of me. And I said, now, look, I'm just telling you, I just think me and you could talk, and you ain't got to say that so much. I'll tell you the truth, from the rest of that time on, he never used the Lord's name in vain in front of him.
Wow. That's good.
Wow.
And then as it went on, you know, I would like to think that I had something to do with his salvation. You know, we had talked about it, you know, several times, of course, you know, the pastor that conducted his funeral had went by and had a chat with Jimmy in the hospital, and he had said, you know, that Jimmy had decided to, you know, to follow Christ, but, you know, he'd also decided to do that there at the house when he and I was speaking. Look, I don't care who saves him. You know, I'm just proud. I'm just proud that he got it. And I really, mm-hmm. I really, really truly believe that he did there at the end.
Yeah.
Jimmy got very humble, you know, that brash, attitude that he had and stuff, you know, he was quieted down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more he realized how sickness or whether death looked imminent, I think he took that in the stride in which he should have. You know, he sang about heaven enough. He told me, said, look, son, I've sung about heaven enough. I said, Jimmy, that don't save you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I wrote the song too. I said, Jimmy, that don't save you either.
he ever give you any guitar lessons while he's around?
No, but you know, let me tell you this funny story. I laughed, you know, Buddy Martin, his boy, had come to, we were at a show here a couple of months ago in Pensacola, Florida. And Buddy had texted me and wanted to know, say, hey, man, look, my family, y'all are going to be in town. Man, could I bring my family out? And come to the show. And I said, man, most certainly. Look, I'll get you tickets and this kind of stuff. And I said, man, you know, as soon as y'all get here, call me and come on the bus and sit down and talk with me for a while. So we did. And he brought his daddy's guitar, or one of them. He said, man, you said you want to play daddy's guitar tonight? And I said, buddy, no, I don't, buddy. And I said, it's not that I said, man, we'll take it out of the case. I'll even sing you a couple. But I said, man, the one I use, it, you know, it's got a pickup on it. And you know, that's kind of what, you know, what I got to use on the show and everything. He said, okay. But one of the times that I'd went up to see Jimmy, he said, Raven, he said, I know you've been dying. I said, what? You've been dying to play one old Jimmy's guitars, ain't you? And I said, well, not particularly. He said, yeah, you have. I said, no, really, actually, I hadn't.
He argued with
anyway, so he said, look, go in behind that couch. And he said, just get one of them out from back there and said, said get it out of the case and play for me. And son, I'm gonna tell you what's the fact. Him dad, that E in B string, son, if you'd have cut your finger on that thing, you'd have got locked y'all immediately. Son, there was enough rust on it. You couldn't find that much rust on the Titanic.
Wow.
Oh, anyway, man. So nonetheless, I strummed it a little bit and I'd sit in front of that stereo and I'd listen to his rhythm on the kickoff of Doing My Time, where he go jigga jigunga jigga jigga jigunga jigga jigga jigunga jigga jigga bom 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 bom, yep. Where the banjo would come in, but bom 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 bom. And I said, this is what you did on the front of Doing My Time. And it, Josh, he had one of those capos, and I know you're gonna know what I'm talking about.
Was it one?
He had one of those capos, huh? I can't even remember the name of them, but it was one of those capos. You know, of course, it was all silver and had the cork back, had a silver pad that, you know, that you'd have to tape it down because the cork would get gone and you'd mark the back of your guitar neck with it.
That's probably one of them big Hamiltons.
But I don't remember what it was, but I mean, you know, all of us had them. You know, back then, I mean, you know, that was the capo. If you was going to have a capo, that, man, that's before Bill Elliott. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that was the capo you had. And had the cork, you know, that would hold the strings. And after a while, that would wear out. And you'd have to try to see if you'd cut you some rubber or something like that to put in there to, you know, to keep them from vibrating. And anyway, I bet you he had 4 yards of tape on that thing. and it was red. And anyway, I was trying my best to put it in B chord and play Doing My Time for him. So I eventually got that capo to fasten, and I told him, I said, this is what you did on the front of Doing My Time. And like I said, I sat in front of the stereo and I literally would listen to it. And I got that down the way he was doing it. And I said, that's the way you kicked off Doing My Time. He goes, no, I didn't. I said, well, no, that's the way you did it on that record, Jimmy. I said, that it may not have been the way you always did it, but I said, that's the way you, no, I didn't. Wow. I didn't do it anything like that. And anyway, so several of the banjo players that, you know, he'd had down through the years, Mark Pruitt, a slew of them.
Yep.
You know, I'd say, look, Nat, is this Jimmy Martin's timing or not? And they go, man, I tell you what, that sounds just like it to me. And, you know, because the thing about it is Jimmy didn't play that hard.
Right.
You know, he didn't play that hard at all. You know, but man, he damn sure had rhythm. Now I can tell you that. Now that rascal had some rhythm.
Absolutely.
And but anyway, man, he wasn't letting me have none of it. I said, Jimmy, I'm telling you that. Now that's the way By damn, son, I know what I did. And I said, well, Jimmy, you can say whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, that's what you did on the record. I ain't done no such thing.
Oh my
God. I should know what I did. So I just left it alone. And I thought, well whatever. But
you know, when I was 12 years old, I got to play banjo with him on stage at IBMA. It was still in Owensboro when that happened, but my mom was not happy about it because she was not a Jimmy Martin fan. And she didn't even think that he would remember, because when he asked me to play, he had been in the shine quite a bit. And but I ended up playing with him the next day, and it was very fun. You know, it was very cool. He was very nice. But, you know, he was even still, he's like, do you know how to play this? You know, he said, now you better keep up with old Jimmy when we get up there. I said, yes, sir.
Yeah. That's cool. I tell you now, he was all about some Jimmy Martin now.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I tell you, you know, it's kind of that thing that, you know, he was another one that wherever he showed up, by Ned, he was going to make sure that everybody knew that Jimmy Martin was there.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, he was and if he couldn't, if he couldn't get your attention from getting in the room, he was going to talk loud enough that you, even if you didn't know who he was, you'd wonder who he was.
Yeah. You know? That's funny.
So I'll never forget, you know, like I was telling you about them bootleg tapes. There was a festival not too far from where we lived, right outside of Jacksonville, Florida. It was there in Lauderdale. That was the first festivals that we started going to when we were younger. I'm talking 72, 73. But that was back when Keith and Ricky was with Ralph and Roy Lee Sinners and that kind of stuff. These bootleg tapes didn't have a picture on them.
Yeah.
You know, they just said Jimmy Martin and the Sunny Mountain Boys. You know, that there's no picture at all. Anyway, so here comes this cat. Here comes this cat walking off this eggplant purple Apollo motorhome. He's got on white boots. He's got on maroon colored pants. A gray sports coat with black pockets, and the checks and the pockets that had the lips on the pockets, they were gray and checkered too.
Mm-hmm.
And he had on a red bolo tie, had on a red shirt with bolo, you know. And then had his collars held down with collar clips too, and had on a purple paisley hat. And we was walking up there where the stage was, and because, you know, Jimmy Martin was fixing to come on. Yeah. And like I'm saying, you know, we'd never seen him, you know. And I turned around my brother Ricky and I said, man, who in the world is that? And you know, we didn't have a clue. I mean, we honestly didn't have a clue that's who that was. And I guess we couldn't put two and two together that he was going backstage. We just thought, man. And all of a sudden, Ken Clark and Roy Martin was the one that had the festival. And Ken Clark was the MC. And, of course, we went around there in front of the stage. And Ken Clark said, and now, from Nashville, Tennessee, Jimmy Martin and the Sunny Mountain Boys. And here he come. I turned around to my brother. I said, that's Jimmy Martin. And of course he opened up with walking shoes and man, dad blame, that is Jimmy Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And son, he, man, it didn't take just a few minutes, son. He done worked that bunch into a frenzy.
I bet.
You know, and let's see.
He definitely had a way with
Kenny
style.
Ingram was playing banjo with him at the time.
Yep.
Ronnie Prevett was playing mandolin.
Mm-hmm.
And if I ain't bad wrong, I think Joe Mullen's daddy was playing fiddle for him.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, if I'm not bad. And Ray Martin was playing bass.
Well, I'll be dang.
Hmm. Wow.
That's awesome.
But yeah, son, he got out there, and I mean, he just, I mean, he forevermore got after it. And
Mickey Harris told me one time, I mean, he said that Jimmy had this idea of what was pretty. He would think, you know, he'd see a hat and he'd think, this hat is pretty. And then he'd look at a jacket and think, this jacket is pretty. If I put them together, they'll be really pretty. Yeah, but they rarely matched. So.
Well, I can tell you what, that outfit he had on, he was going for Clash City on that deal, because they ain't nothing to match on that.
That's
except
awesome.
For maybe, you know, just the black and the maroon and the gray on that jacket.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
But he, I'm telling you what's the fact, though, man. He got out there and he let Ronnie Prevett sing Little Maggie. And, man, Ronnie was holding that to Over Yonder Stand. And he'd hold it along. And so old Jimmy would slap him across the shoulder. That's my boy right there. That's my boy. Come on, give it to him now.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's Ronnie. But give it to him. That's Ronnie Prevett. Give it to him. And, you know. But, man, he was. I'm telling you what's the fact. That rascal was a showman. Now, you knew when he got on and you knew when he left.
That is very true.
That's so cool.
But, you know, man, and there's a lot of those. There's a lot of those times I can think back on years ago when bluegrass was what it was. And I really miss those days, you know, where you had those different acts that were so different. They were like nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where a Larry Sparks can get up there and sing, or a Ralph Stanley can get up there and sing, a Jimmy Martin can get up there and sing, you know, Lewis family. They were there on that show as well too. So was Monroe and Matt Wiseman was there that day. And, man, it was a good way, to break into bluegrass music, and the Sullivan family was there too. I remember that.
Oh yeah.
And man, that was just, that was the best of times, man. We couldn't wait. They'd have it, every April. They'd have it the second weekend in April and the first weekend in October every year.
Mm-hmm.
And man, we couldn't wait, for Lottie, at the first part of the school year. And then, getting ready for the winter and stuff, having, the Bluegrass Festival there in October. And man, it was them were some good times. They really were. Man, we'd jam all night and just have ourselves a time now. We really would.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about Shenandoah. So when did you transition into that, and how did that come about?
Well, I'd left Florida in 84. And when I moved to Florida, you know, a lot of buddies that I'd had down there, you know, kept saying, man, look, you know, Ricky Skaggs done went up there. Keith Whitley's up there doing it. Vince Gills went up there and done it. Man, why don't you go to Nashville and see what you can do? And, you know, the more and more I'd hear that, the more and more I got to thinking, you know, if you ain't real careful, you can get real, real comfortable about where you're at. And,
yeah.
And what you're doing and what you're enjoying and that kind of stuff. We were laying block and brick during the week and playing bluegrass festivals, you know, on the weekends. And really, as far as, you know, wanting to scratch an itch as far as playing music, we were certainly doing that. And then I got to thinking, you know, I ain't going to be able to do this forever. Maybe I should, you know, I mean, ain't the one way in the world I'm ever going to find out whether I ever could have.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to my daddy about it. And he said, son, well, I'll put it to you this way. He said, Nashville, Tennessee is not in Sanford, Florida, son. He said, man, son, don't get to be an old man and wonder if you ever could have,
mm-hmm.
and you never, you know, took the chance to do it. And so anyway, so I left in August of 84. And I was planning on leaving in September, but an old boy that works with us, they call him utility guys, but he's more than that. And I mean, he's been with us, you know, from the beginning. Donnie Allen, he plays the fiddle and some banjo, and he plays electric guitar and rhythm guitar as well too. And anyway, he had called me and got a hold of me, and then Brian Prout, which went on to be the drummer with Diamond Rio. At that time, they had had a band called Heartbreak Mountain, and so Brian called to give me kind of the particulars of what was. And he said, "Man, look, our lead singer's moving back to Florida, and Donnie Allen had mentioned you." And I said, "Yeah, I talked with Donnie." He said, "Well, man, do you want to come up here and try this?" And I said, "Well, you know, tell you the truth, I was planning on, you know, going up there, you know, next month anyway." He said, "Man, come on up here, because we got a job. We got a job that starts in 3 weeks at the Western Room on Printer's Alley. And, man, come up here and rehearse with us. And, you know, man, don't worry about a place to stay right now. You can stay with one of us, and we'll get all that ironed out. Man, just come as quick as you can."
Mm-hmm.
"So we can get all this ironed out." So I did. Next thing I know, you know, we were on, you know, Printer's Alley playing together and everything like that. And a lot of songwriters would come in and they want me to sing demos for them. And I did. And then I like to write, and, therefore, a fellow by the name of Bud McGuire, which is Mike McGuire's brother that plays drums with Shenandoah. Mm-hmm. He had got me doing several demos for him, and I was doing them there at Larry Butler's place. And Larry Butler had produced Kenny Rogers, Crystal Gayle, Dottie West, and at one time he was president of United Artists. Bud really kind of helped me be able to stay up there, because he helped me to get a writer's deal and a writer's draw of $150 a week. And therefore, I could pay my rent, mm-hmm. as long as I was living with somebody and, you know, being able to pay half the rent. And I could live off of it too. So I did. And then when we would play, you know, of course, I had money for that. Then Mike McGuire called me about coming to work with their club band that they had in Muscle Shoals. After the thing had kind of run out on Heartbreak Mountain, you know, I mean, we'd work for a week or two, and then we wouldn't work for a month. Then we'd work for a week, and then we wouldn't work for a month. And then, man, we were having to go to North Carolina, you know, and work in clubs and stuff like that, just to keep our head above water.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike called me and said, "Look," said, "man, you know, the money's not all that great." But said, "You know, we're 140 miles from Nashville." Said, "Man, you can still write and turn your tunes in at Butler's place." And said, "Man, there's a lot of great writers down here. You can write with some of us guys." But we work four nights a week, and it's steady. And it's every single week, you know. I said, that'd be hard to turn that down. He said, "Well, don't turn it down, man. Come to work with us." So I did. And, you know, never knowing at that time that was the group Shenandoah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were just all monkeying around the studios. I was singing a lot of demos for writers down here. And Jim Seals, the guitar player, was playing on a lot of the sessions. And Ralphie Zell was playing on a lot of the sessions, and a lot of the records that were coming in down here from other artists. And then Stan Thorne was playing keyboards and never dreaming, you know, that any of that would be, you know, anything that would lead to where it had led to.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, Robert Byrne and a fellow by the name of Tommy Brassfield had came into the club that we were working here in town. And they said, "Hey, boys," said, "look," said, "man, on your next break, sit down." And they're both, I'm going to name a few of their songs. And I mean, they're kind of like songwriting. They're royalty in this town. Mm-hmm. Now, Tommy Brassfield has since died, but, you know, "No Getting Over Me." And that was a close one. "Once in a Blue Moon." Robert, he and Mac McAnally wrote 2 Dozen Roses for us. And "She Doesn't Cry Anymore." And I mean, the list goes on and on and on for Robert, as well as, "She's Got Away." She sure got away with my heart. The John Anderson thing that John Anderson did with Walt and Tommy Brassfield had written that one. And one thing after another, these guys were heavy hitters. So we sat down with them and they started talking about how they'd got a production deal with CBS, and they had literally been all over the country looking for two acts. And they had one act that they didn't think was going to work out, but wanted to know if we wanted to come to the studio and cut some spec sides, and CBS was going to pay for it. Go down there and let's give it a try. And, you know, a couple of guys in bands, and I'm not interested in that. I said, "Look, I left Florida to see if I could get a deal. I'm all for it."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Man, I lived in Nashville for 9 months trying to get one." I said, "Man, I'm willing to come down there." So before it was all over with, we showed up down there and we went through the process of, you know, going through tunes, listening to tunes that we wanted to cut and stuff that we felt like we wanted to do. Next thing you know, we put out a record the first one went to 52. The next one was a tune called "Stop the Rain," and it went to 48. And then we came with a tune called "She Doesn't Cry Anymore," and it went to number 9. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we were on another album just called "The Extra Mile." "The Road Not Taken." And off of that album came 5 number 1 records. We came "Mama Knows," and then 2 Dozen Roses, and "Sunday in the South," and "See If I Care." So by that time, you know, we'd started making a little mark in country music, so that kept me away from bluegrass music for twelve years.
So was that the first number back, one? What was the first number one hit off that album?
"Church on Cumberland Road."
Yeah,
and it was the first number one record we had, and it was the first time that a self-contained act had ever had their first number one record go 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it still is today. But it's certainly one of the staples in our show. We've been really, really fortunate, you know, and I contribute a lot of that to trying to be songwriters because listen to the great writers and listen to stuff that great writers write. You get to know the difference between a good song and a great song.
Mm-hmm.
and a song that you know will help. And another thing that I think helped out a whole lot was that when we were playing this club gig, way before we got our deal, Ken Murray was the club owner. He was a real stickler in us playing the top 40. You know, man, you know, we could reach back there and play some of the older stuff, but we had to stay current. Hmm. You know, we had to stay up on the charts. You know, he loved country music, and they were songs he would like this week that just came out and wanted to know when we were going to learn it. So we would rehearse every Wednesday. And then, of course, we'd play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'd have rehearsals on Wednesday. We'd take the tunes that everybody in the band had to learn one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what kind of, you know, keened our skills as far as knowing, you know, what was a good song was we started picking the songs that we knew that people would dance to.
Mm-hmm.
And people would, you know, they could get into it. And, you know, songs we felt real strong about that, that's the ones we did, you know, that kept the dance floor full and that kind of stuff. And I really do believe that that helped a lot when it come to the selection of material that we, you know, we picked out.
I'm sure.
You know, and through our career and that's really what it's been about. I mean, it actually comes down to the song. I mean, it really does. You can throw a good vocal performance on it if you want to, but when it comes down to it, it's going to be what the song said.
Right.
You know, that's what's going to sell you on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Shenandoah is going to be, Josh and I serve on the board of the Jackson Purchase Friends of Bluegrass, and we have a monthly bluegrass night every first Friday at the Kentucky Opry, you know, in Josh's hometown there. And you're going to be there February 1st. So
yes, sir.
We're going to have to come.
Yes, sir, bro.
Have to come see you and hug your neck, man. That's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that. Now, I guarantee you, we'll have a good reunion there. That'd be good. That's a
yes.
Man, that's a good place to play. We played there before. I like that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good, man. People love it. Mm-hmm. People just love music there, you know, and that's,
yeah.
And that's another thing too, that, you know, that you, man, you just always got to enjoy that, you know, that people that come, that, you know, they come because they really honestly truly love and enjoy the music.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that's, man, that's always such a good thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's where Josh grew up playing, and mm-hmm. he started there awful young, so.
That's right. All buck teeth and banjo.
Yeah, if you don't believe it, there's a picture on the wall right in the lobby.
There's a picture to prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll have to show you that picture that night you're there.
Man, y'all make an effort to get over there, man. I'd love to see y'all.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to put it on the calendar and check it out for sure. So I'm excited. I've seen you guys years ago, but it's been a while, so I'm looking forward to that. So, you guys got new music?
We've even learned to harmonize with each other now.
Oh, really?
You know, things are moving on. Yeah, things are moving on.
You are getting better. That's great.
Yeah, we are. You know, you always got to show some sign of improvement.
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, trying to dress better.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, everything. I mean, we trying to give folks the whole package.
Cut the mullet off and getting with the times, ain't you?
Man, I missed the mullet.
I threatened that bunch. I said, fellas, I tell you what we're going to do. I said, man, we're going to start getting uniformed. We're going to start getting what? I said, man, we all going to get the same colored shirts.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, no, we ain't. I said, yeah, man, we'll look like a band then. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Some nudie suits and sequins and go the whole Porter Wagner thing. Yeah. Exactly.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I do like that.
Yeah. That's for sure. Well, Marty, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate you. And you live in Nashville,
now,
right?
Now, you asked. I live in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Muscle Shoals, that's right.
Yeah, but now you'd ask about new music. Yeah, we got some coming after the first of the year. We got another Alison Krauss record coming too.
Oh, great!
That we're, you know, really excited about.
Yeah.
It's a tune called It Scares Me More. And that's coming out. We got Luke Combs, you know, we did the Two Dozen Roses with Luke and
Grammy and then, nominated.
Luke Bryan and Al Dean. Al Dean was there the same night I was to honor Luke Bryan with his number 30 party. He's had 30 number one records and so
wow.
Management called and said, "Look, man, would you learn one of Luke's number one records and come and surprise him and sing it?"
Oh,
and
cool.
And I said, "Yeah, man, I'd love to." So I did. And anyway, while the three of us were back there talking, I said, "You know, we just signed with a new label and they wanted us to cut some of the past stuff that we had. And I said, man, I remember people sending us tapes, video clips on their phone of y'all doing Sunday in the South. Luke Bryan said, man, that's my favorite song. That's honest to God, that's my favorite song. And I said, well, man, we got a brand new track cut on this. You want to come over and put a vocal on it? And then Jason, Vinette, he ain't going to do it unless you're going to let me do it. And I said, man, both of you can do it.
Heck yeah.
So we did. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, we did the video for it as well, too.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Anyway, so that's going to be the next single. We're going to wait for a little bit and let all the, you know, we're getting, you know, close down to the end of the year where they'll freeze the charts and start playing Christmas music. So we don't want to put anything out only to turn right back around and,
yeah.
And, that it's not going to keep radio from playing it, but, we don't want to start it and then have them stop it.
Yeah.
You know, for 2 weeks because they're going to be playing Christmas music. So
yeah.
We figured we wait till after the first year. Plus, it'd be better, you know, for the, you know, when the, you know, right before the record comes out as well, too. So
yeah,
that would be good. But no, man, things are good, fellas. And I tell you what I do, and I mean this too. I miss the camaraderie of the bluegrass festivals and you know, jammers that still like to get out and, you know, do it, you know, even after the show's over with. And,
mm-hmm.
and Joshy came out and played banjo for me at a bluegrass festival.
Yeah. I sure did.
They sure did. He come out there and rock that five with us one weekend.
That was fun.
Sure did.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Man, we had a big time.
We did.
Okay. But, and you know, I told the fellas, I said, look, man, fellas, I got away from this stuff one time, but I'm not going to get completely away from it again. I said, to be honest with you, I love this stuff too much and I'm just not going to do it. And when I've got an opportunity to do it, I'm still going to go out and do some festivals. Man, if I got to throw a band together in 2 weeks, I'm gonna see what I can't do about, you know, trying to still get out there and do it. Cause you know, I'm only going to do this for so long. And then when I do, I'm gonna get back into bluegrass, you know, pretty much full time. And it's been a good break from it, but more than anything else in the world, it's, you know, it's still that missing and that camaraderie, man. Fellas, y'all know how it is.
Oh yeah.
Man, you go to a bluegrass festival, man, you know everybody. You know, not just the one, not just the folks picking, but you know, man, just the crowd. You know, man, all these people. It was so amazing to me when I got back into bluegrass music that I started seeing people that I'd seen 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, it was kind of like that. What was that on? The Grinch, when the Grinch was talking about that school teacher or whatever it was, and said, "Is she still living?"
Wow, you sound just like, you know, the Grinch. That's a great impression. Oh man,
what's that stench? Smells like potpourri. Max, bring my cloak.
But, that's one of my favorites.
And man, it's getting the time of year for that to start just playing. And son, I don't ever miss it. That Jim Carrey, that's the funniest one, human being.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, that movie especially, that's some funny stuff. No, but no, man, fellas, I appreciate the time y'all let me spend with you tonight and ramble on. And
shoot, we're honored to have you, Marty.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, brother, it's been good being with y'all. It really has. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
We want to play one of your songs. We like to close out a podcast when we talk to somebody and play one of their songs. So you have any song you'd like for us to play off your old, maybe your old bluegrass album or Shenandoah song or whatever? We'd love to close our show out with one of your songs. So your choice.
You know, I guess, play Slowly.
Slowly? All right. Let's see. I'm looking here now to find it. There we go. All right. Slowly I'm Falling. Marty Rabin in Full Circle.
Uh-huh.
All right. Cool. I got it queued up, so we'll just close out with that one.
Yeah.
That sounds all right.
So. Fellas, y'all have a great evening, man. Good holidays.
Yes,
man,
sir.
I pray the Lord just bless y'all and keep you and until we do get a chance to see each other and hug each other's neck. If it is the 1st of February, then so be it. But until then, man, you fellas be blessed and we'll just see you when we can, okay?
Absolutely,
yes,
Marty.
Yes, thank you, Marty.
We'll see you February at the Kentucky Opry.
How's That's that right. Sound? We love you,
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, love you too, fellas.
All right, man.
Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man, you bet. Bye-bye.
What I do, slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Now more and more I need you and want you by my side. So plain and true, slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Now slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Slowly you're winning a heart that can be true. I can't hide my feelings no matter what I do. Slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Now more and more I love you as each day passes by. No need to hide my feelings, that's so plain and true. Slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Now slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Slowly you're winning a heart that can be true. Hide my feelings no matter what I do. Slowly I'm falling more in love with you. Slowly I'm falling more in love with you.
Slowly I'm falling more in love with you. There's Marty Rabin in Full Circle, and that was a fun conversation talking to a legend right there, boy.
And he is my, I know we said this last week about Russell, but he is so good. And I've sang with him live, so I know where his pitch is, you know, went just live. And yeah. Oh my gosh, he is so good.
Well, I love the uniqueness of his voice. It is great, but I mean, you don't hear us. He comes on the radio, you know exactly who it is.
And, yes, that's what absolutely.
I love about it. It's just so many country artists these days, you know, you can't hardly tell one from the other. But, man, that's classic right there.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. So, well, and man, it's another great episode. We've had a good one. We're rocking and rolling and spitting them out and having a good time. So
that's right.
Well,
this is fun. I'm glad we do this.
Me too, man. We get to talk to some cool people and do some fun stuff.
So. That's right. And we get to do it all for the best people in the world, the bluegrass folks. That's what I always like to say is I'm very grateful to be able to play the best music in the world for the best people in the world.
You got that right. We love you so much.
Thank y'all.
been a Bats Creative Audio production.